and that is found on page 1191. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Second reading is from John chapter 14, verses 23 to 29, and that's on page 1093. Jesus replied, "Those who love me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So whoever did that lovely display, I will put it back, I promise. And I'll try and put it back in the same place. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you for the love that we share with each other and with you. We thank you for this day when we are united with people across this nation and this world in remembering. We pray that this morning each of us might leave this place touched, transformed and renewed by your love. So guide us now as we reflect together. Amen. I've been pondering all week when I haven't been on a partnership in World Mission Conference and when I haven't been trying to get over a virus on what I wanted to share with you today. I hope there's a picture up behind me of the poppies there. And one of the things, of course, that reminds us when we look at a field of poppies as we see them there is of the number of people across our world who have given their lives in wars of one kind or another, often not understanding why they were doing it. A great friend of mine, whose funeral I was privileged to take a few years ago, was a brigadier in the army, and he served in the first Gulf War, and he said that when he went to do that, he went believing with all his heart that it was the right thing and that the right situations were in place. But when it came to the second Gulf War and his son had to go and serve, he said, "I was broken by it," because he said, "I did not understand why we were going in at that point. And none of the people going in felt that it was right." And there was a huge pain within him. And yet within even those wars where we don't know whether they're right or wrong, there are sometimes acts of great courage, but there are certainly acts of great loss. And we know that, don't we, in Wootton Bassett, as we've seen time and again the crowds of people turning out to remember those who have died, but also to express that solidarity with their friends and their family and the people who are mourning their loss. So today it's important that we join in this national sense of mourning and of loss and of identification. And the reason I took this poppy out was that I want to use the poppy this morning as a kind of symbol, a reminder to us of why we're here. And that's by using the letters of the word poppy. As I thought, as the first P that begins poppy, it reminded me of how Jesus promised us peace, a peace that the world can't understand, a peace that comes as a gift from the Holy Spirit, a peace that reminds us that there cannot be peace in our world unless it is from God and with God, that the starting point for peace has got to be in that relationship that we have with the God of all creation. Because only His peace can bring the kind of transformation that we long to see in our world. Because Jesus stood it on its head. We think so often as peace is coming when the powers and the authorities and the governments legislate and put things in place and have the right armies and so on in order that we may live in peace. But Jesus' peace was different. It was a peace that looked to the vulnerable, to those on the fringe and on the margin. It was a peace that challenged those that were in power. It was a peace that rested on individual transformation and those individuals being involved in transforming their relationships and their communities and their worlds around. So it's a bottom-up peace, not a top-down peace. And it reminds us, too, that that peace, living both corporately and socially and individually in peace, is necessary for our human flourishing. And while there is one place in the world where people do not know that peace, we are all diminished and all less than human. And then the O of the poppy reminded me of the cost of being a soldier. Because a soldier is called to obey and not to question the orders when the moment comes, simply to obey. And that's why on the parade ground, that's why in training, again and again, soldiers are taught to obey. And when they obey, they have to obey instantly and at that moment. And it's drummed into them again and again and again until the moment comes. And a moment like happened to a friend of mine, Clive Dytor, in the Falklands War, when he was at the foot of a hill with his platoon, and at the top of the hill was an enemy machine gun emplacement. And his orders were to capture this hill. And so he ordered his men to follow him up the hill through the bullets to take that place. And he had to stand up and run. And every one of his men followed. He got the George Cross because he didn't lose a single man in capturing that machine gun emplacement. But obedience, costly obedience, is not something that happens instantly. It's hard won. And if we are those who are to be peacemakers, as Jesus has called us to, it's going to be hard won as well. We need to learn that obedience to Christ matters all the time. It matters in the little things. It matters when we're sitting at the breakfast table. It matters when we're at work. It matters when we receive that email that just riles us and we want to send a response off as quickly as possible. Because it's in those little moments, as we begin to bring our lives under Christ's control, that we learn the discipline. We learn to obey without thinking. And by that I don't mean that we don't think in terms of about our relationship with Jesus, but rather that when the moment comes where God's word speaks into our hearts, we don't think about it. We just obey. So that when we hit that difficult situation, that difficult person, that difficult place, all the practice that we've done in obeying Christ just hooks into place. And instead of reacting from the hip, we become peacemakers. We become those who reflect the love of Christ naturally, because it has been built into us over the years. Third P reminded me that we are called to praise God, but also, as Paul reminded us, to commend those things that are praiseworthy. And while we know that in war, which in and of itself is something so terrible that we don't want to dwell on it or glorify it in any way, yet we can see within even those most terrible situations examples that speak to us of the love of God, of something that is different. When I was at Spring Harvest, I think it was 2 years ago, we were asked to come up with a drama situation and to devise a film script. And we were thinking about what we might do with that, and I discovered a story of an American soldier. American soldier in Iran, no, in Iraq. And this man had been in a situation where they were fighting, and they were confronting the Iraqi army opposite each other. And as they were confronting each other, into the middle of the killing field, a child, a boy, walked. And this American soldier looked, and he saw that this child was going to be killed not by the enemy, but by the fire from his own side. And without thinking, he jumped up, raced into the middle, and put his body between that child and the bullets. He died, and the child lived. We thank God for acts like that. On Radio Bristol this week, I heard of a German soldier during the war. Someone was telling us about their uncle who was very, very badly injured in the First World War, I think it was. And when the Germans found him, a particular German soldier found him, and he was ready to be finished off. This German soldier, instead of killing him, as he was expected, looked around and saw that no one was looking, and helped this injured British soldier to safety, and gave him and his family today a life and a hope. And I guess he must have done it at considerable risk to himself, because if it was seen that he was helping the enemy instead of killing them, he might have faced court-martial or even summary execution. And it reminds us that even in the most difficult places, we can see reflections of the love of Christ, the love that offered itself for others. And that can inspire us in our own walk. Third P in Poppy reminded me of our call to pray. Because when we look at war and situations of war, sometimes there are things that are so dreadful and so painful and so horrible that we cannot comprehend what is going on. Many of you know that I grew up in East Africa. One of my father's great friends was a wife to Idi Amin. Her body was found chopped into small pieces in the boot of a car. We know about the Rwandan genocide, about people turning on each other and hacking each other to death with machetes, or of people in the DRC who've just had their lips and their ears and their noses cut off and left to die or live. We've heard of so many things. You know, individual evil is perhaps even less frightening than corporate evil. When systems become caught up with evil and destruction. And I think our only response can be to cry out to God as Jesus did, my God, why have you forsaken us? How can it be that in this world where we see so much good, that this suffering, this evil can happen, not just as individuals, but on a national scale? How can it be that whole peoples who are loving, on one level loving neighbors, suddenly turn into these awful and terrible things? And it's right that we should learn to pray. Not pray as in, Lord God, will you just do something or do this? But in that moment where our whole being is laid bare before God and we just say to him, God, why and how, and I do not understand. And yet somehow in the midst of that, I have to trust and learn to trust that somehow you can work even these things for good. And then the why in the poppy, which reminded me of you and me. That ultimately peace begins not at a national level, but with us. It begins with our relationship with God. Are we at peace with him? And for those of us perhaps who've come in this morning and we don't know whether we're at peace with God, the answer is simply to turn to him as we hear through the words that we're singing so often and to seek Jesus' face and to say, Lord Jesus, I need to know that peace, and you've promised that you will give it. Please, will you give me your peace? Will you speak to me in words that I can recognize? Will you call me into that place of obedience where my life is no longer my own, but my life belongs to you, and where I know that peace and safety that is above all? And then it begins with a transformation of our relationships in our families, first of all, where God begins to bring reconciliation to those things that are broken and to restore relationships and to change our hearts to the point where we no longer think that it's worth winning an argument if it loses a friend or a family member. And then it reaches out into our communities as we become peacemakers, as we seek to bring people together, as we seek to work for justice, for truth, for hope. And how great it is that some of our Lord Mayoral candidates are Christians who are doing it because they want to see God's justice for all in our society. And we see it too as we work to change those institutions that are not reflecting God's love, but are being used for violence and for anger. And so our poppies remind us that we should not forget. We should not forget those who have given their lives on all sides. That we should not forget the pain and loss of those who mourn them. And we should not forget our calling to be salt and light, to be those who live and work as peacemakers and offer hope and life and a new way of being within our communities. Father, we thank you for those many people, many of them flawed, many of them with great pain in their lives, and yet who have given their life for something beyond themselves. We pray for them and for their families. We pray for ourselves as we remember that we might so shape our lives in prayer, in praise, in obedience, and in peace, that your world might be transformed and become more a place of peace. Amen.